All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 397 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on handling our crisis. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life. Thank you for bringing us to a brand new day. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our loved ones. Thank you for your many blessings towards us. Lord, may your name be praised. Father and our God, we come before you this morning. In any way we have sinned or erred, we pray for your forgiveness and your cleansing. Please come and have your way as we fellowship with you and we study your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, again, so far we've been talking about handling crisis. And again, I'll encourage you, if you've missed the last two parts, I'll strongly encourage you to go back and listen to it. So, you know, the last time we met, we said that, hey, that there's it's really bad to be impulsive, right? That you should get direction from the Lord when you're handling a crisis, right? That you need to be patient in a crisis so that you can make good decisions, right? Good decisions are very necessary in a crisis. Good decisions are very, very necessary because many times they control what the outcome of that crisis will be. So, so what's the next principle I want to discuss here that I think will be really helpful, right? So, you know, if you remember, we've been using 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 20. Verse 11, you know, kind of illustrates the next principle, you know, where the Lord had given them an instruction, and then they started chasing after those Amalekites, right? And then the Bible says that along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David, gave him some bread to eat and some water to drink, right? And this man, if you read further, you know, they fed him, they gave him food, right? They treated him very well. They were basically acting like good Samaritans. Even if, again, they were dealing with dire circumstances. Literally, these people's families had been taken away, right? So what is the lesson from this? Again, I think this part of scripture illustrates the importance of patience in a crisis, right? Again, these people, their families had not been recovered yet. Their families were still away from them and all these things. But guess what? They still treated this man right, right? They still treated this man right. So we see that they still had the patience to give this man food, give this man water, and all those things. That's number one. But another thing that can also be learned from this part of the story is that they didn't, you know, besides the patience, they still retained their morals. You know, some people, when things go sour, when things go bad, you know, when you're dealing with a crisis, they start acting out. They start treating people like trash. They start talking wrong, you know, thinking of all these wrong things, acting contrary to the will of the Lord, right? It is really hard in a crisis to keep your morals. But let's just try to not forget what Job did, right? Let's try to not forget what Job did. Job literally kept his morals, right? Job literally kept his morals, even if he was dealing with a trial, right? Even if he was dealing with a trial, he still kept his morals. You know, even when his wife said, hey, curse God and die, you know what? He did not do that, right? So you need to maintain your morals in a trial. If you look at Job 1:22, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, right? So the thing is, in fact, sometimes I tell people that if you're dealing with a trial, be quiet. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Sometimes it's okay to be quiet in a trial, right? Don't be like the Israelites, you know, whenever they will go through a trial in the wilderness after they left Egypt, that will start complaining, start murmuring. It set them back. It set them back. Many people don't realize this, but their actions in a trial can either, you know, make them learn the lesson from that trial and move on, or prolong that trial. The Israelites, they prolonged their trial. They stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, right? And many of them perished. They didn't even make it into the promised land, right? So again, you need to be very, very careful. You need to be very, 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 very careful when you're going through a trial. Maintain your morals. Be choosy, right? Again, if you remember, the premise of this podcast was, hey, you need to be choosy about certain things, right? You need to be choosy about your actions, right? We said, hey, be patient, right? Exercise patience in a trial, right? I'm saying that, hey, get instructions first before you start doing something, right? I said, hey, maintain your morals, right? Still keep doing kind deeds. Still keep doing the right thing, even when you're doing with dealing with a trial. In fact, those your kind deeds can be a very powerful testimony when people see that you're going through a trial. Now, what is the next lesson I want us to get out of this reading, right? Because the thing is, handling trials is a very big part of this, right? One lesson I want to bring out as an ouch, you know, kind of an outpost from this thing that we've been discussing so far, is the importance of being an example, right? So the thing is, if you notice, David's men, look at the way they responded. David, look at the way he responded. It just showed that he was the leader in this circumstance, right? The men were thinking of stoning him and everything. And again, I almost don't blame these people. They were dealing with a very tough circumstance. But David set an example, right? David set an example. You know, speaking to a lot of men in this podcast, I would just really encourage you, like, set an example for your family. Speaking to residents, set an example in your residency program. Be different. Again, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Literally, be separate. Literally, be different. Don't act like the people that are around you. Be different. Be different. You're dealing with a trial. It can be an amazing opportunity for witnessing. It can be an amazing opportunity to show people who Christ truly is, right? By the way you respond to that trial. By the way you respond to that trial, right? Women, children, wherever you are, right? Always try to be an example, right? Always try to be an example. A trial is a very good opportunity for you to really witness for Christ, for you to be really witness for Christ. All right. Now, some other lessons from this reading, you know, 1 Samuel 30 verses 1 to 20 that I want to run through quickly that I think are helpful is, number one is, remember to always deal with a problem as early as possible, right? Deal with a problem early. Don't leave a problem hanging and lingering. That lingering problem becomes more and more difficult to solve. I just kind of like to think of problems as like cancer. Cancer, the earlier you treat it, the better your prognosis. The later you treat it, the worse your prognosis, right? So the thing is, if you notice, these Amalekites that came and attacked David, this is not the first time we've seen a wrong with them in the Bible, right? First, the Lord instructed Saul to completely obliterate them, but he did not. He did not, right? He did not. Now, those same Amalekites came and were troubling David and his family, right? And if you notice, some of those people still escaped. It was still some Amalekite, it was actually an Amalekite that was a Haman that also troubled the Israelites during the time of Esther, right? So if you notice, it's like, wow, this problem just still lingered because of somebody's disobedience. Saul did not obey God completely at the beginning to completely obliterate the Amalekites, right? So again, obey as early as possible. The earlier you obey, you don't realize how many problems you're kind of staving off from the future. And then another lesson I want to discuss here is that after a high can come a low. After a high can come a low, right? So be humble in victory, right? Be humble in victory. You know, some people, you know, they're like, things are going really well for them. Everything is clicking and whatnot, right? And then they become very proud and pompous. You don't know the next trial that's going to be coming your way, right? So just be very careful. You know, Elijah had just called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. And then boom, in the next chapter or thereabouts, he was already asking the Lord to call him home, that he was not better than any of his brethren, any of his forefathers, right? So after a high can come a low, right? So just be humble, right? After you've gotten victory from a trial, don't start being proud and pompous like you extricated yourself from that trial. It is God that helped you out. It is God that helped you out. It is God that helped you out. Now, another thing that I also say here is it's important to recognize that trials have a purpose, right? Trials literally have a purpose. Because I know some people in their minds, they may be wondering, like, man, why do I go through trials? Why is my life difficult like this? Well, the thing is, trials, number one, they help with chastening people, right? Sometimes going through a trial is the thing that straightens a person out and puts them back on the right track. Right? Another purpose of a trial is that it helps with growth, right? Have you ever noticed that many times when you face a problem, that's the thing that ends up triggering your growth, right? A trial, as I've said, is an opportunity for you to witness, right? It's to teach you discipline, right? Trials teach humility. There are many benefits of a trial, right? Because think about it, if things were always prosperous for you, would you ever grow? Would you ever grow, right? And another benefit or purpose of a trial is that it proves character. It shows like, wait, where do you truly stand? Where do you truly stand? Where do you truly stand? You know, there's a friend of mine that said this statement that really has hit me, and I was like, wow, that's actually quite insightful. He said that literally, extreme success destroys more men than extreme hardship. I'm going to say that again. Extreme success destroys more men than extreme hardship, right? Extreme hardship can really make a person grow. Extreme hardship can really make a person grow, right? So just remember, trials are not purposeless, right? So remember, choose joy in a trial. Choose to trust the Lord. Choose to be patient. Choose to go to God for direction and instruction. Choose to keep your morals, right? Choose to trust God and choose to just go through that process that He's taking you through as you go through that trial. And I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word we have heard this morning. We pray for the grace to not just be hearers only, but also doers of your word. Give us the grace, Lord, to handle trials, to handle crises, and to grow from them, and to become more and more like you. All the praise, all the honor, all the glory, and all the adoration belongs to your mighty name. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. And for those listening to this podcast, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord, again, it is one of the best decisions you can make with your life. I'll strongly encourage you to do so. If you want to do that, listen to episodes 254 and 287. 254, 287. It talks about the cost of following Jesus. It gives you the true cost of following Jesus, right? And if you do decide after that, you can say a prayer with me at the end of episode 254 to surrender your life to the Lord. But this is officially the end of this series. God willing, episode 398, we'll begin a new topic. So have a wonderful week. God bless you, and bye for now. Shalom.